hear that. I'm glad that God has allowed us to join ourselves together again one last time in 2014. We've got just a few more hours left to spend time together this year, and I'm glad to be with you tonight. And I had a wonderful time with the teenagers, and it was a blessing to be able to take Tony and Vivian up with us. They have been campers in the past, and this year they was able to go as counselors, and that is a blessing to see young people growing up and willing to give themselves, and we appreciate their willingness to do that and be a help to me. It was a real blessing. I tell you, you learn a lot of things from teenagers and kids alike. You can learn a lot if you're willing just to listen. For instance, I was reading an article last week on texting, the different terminologies of texting. For there's things, if you see on your phone, they should bring some red flags up. Like if you see your kid text the word P-I-R, that means parent in the room. You realize that? Now I know. If I see P-I-R on one of my boys and girls' phone, that thing, I got one for that. Phone out of the house. If they're trying to hide something from me, they want to say P-I-R, what's it matter if the parent's in the room? Should be open conversation, right? There's a bunch of them out there. I'm not going to get into all that, but just to show you how I learned, we were eating breakfast the other morning there with the kids, and we all sit together around the tables there eating, and I was trying to eat, and the kids were talking about something, and one of them said something, and I said, that's a code word for something. I thought they said vitamin. There was a boy walked by, and a girl said something. I thought she said vitamin. And I said, is that a code word? She said, I got all these code words. You got to learn them. I said, no, Pastor, I didn't say vitamin. I said, are you sure? I mean, if he's a good one, is he a gummy bear? Do you have like a one-a-day Geritol? Well, this morning, I'm not giving any names if they won't tell them themselves. There was a vulture come sitting around us. That's a code name for a boy don't belong to our group. Talking to some of the girls. And I said, well, what kind is he? And they said, he's a straight up laxative, Pastor. You learn a lot. So that's the spiritual stuff I've been learning all week long. Actually, we had a good time. The pastor, the man of God that preached, brought some good messages and helped us out a lot and kept our attention and brought his generation to our life and let us learn from him. So we had a good time. We did have a good time. And looking forward to what God has for us tonight here at the church. And as I was getting ready this week up there and thinking about what to preach tonight, being the last sermon of 2014, I figured out what God would have us to look at tonight. And then I found a little small clip that I wanted to show you to kind of reinforce the message. So we're going to watch the clip first, and then I'm going to get back into the Word of God. Brother Jim, you get the center line.
Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's workmanship, His masterpiece. I don't know about you, but when I get up in the morning and look in the mirror, I don't really see a masterpiece, you know? I mean, maybe a Picasso. It's like, but I want to be His masterpiece. I want to be everything He created me to be. And so I go to Him in prayer and I say, Dear Heavenly Father, do whatever it takes to mold me into the image of Your Son. Make me Your masterpiece. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hi.
Whoa. Who are you?
I'm God. You said the prayer, so here I am.
You're not God.
No, I am. You said the prayer. That's how it works.
Okay. If you're God, then make it snow in here.
You know what? I really don't want to make it snow in here because it'd get kind of yucky.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not God.
Why do you say that?
God wouldn't say yucky.
I do. It's a Greek word.
Oh. Okay, okay. If you're God, what does Lamentations 15:9 say?
Lamentations is only 5 chapters. It's a very short book.
Oh. Why was it so short?
I was tired of lamenting.
Oh. Okay, okay. If you're God, who's going to win the World Series this year?
I'm really not into playing games. Why are you so much into playing games?
You are God.
Well, gave it away.
You answered my question with a question.
I did? Yeah, I do that, don't I? I did it again. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, what are we doing?
I'm going to make it my original masterpiece. This is the process.
Oh, okay. Got it. Wait, wait. What are these about?
These are the tools I'm going to use to make you into my original masterpiece.
Okay.
Hang on.
Yeah.
I thought you were a carpenter.
That's my son. Step right up. Here we go.
Hey, God, how do you know what to chisel away and what to leave?
I take out everything you like that doesn't belong there, kind of like dead weight.
Ooh, speaking of dead weight, could you chisel right here? It showed up when I was in my 20s and grew around and became back fat. I don't even know why you created that, but I can't get rid of it. I mean, I've tried everything. Like, I tried running. I tried lifting weights. My wife actually talked me into trying Pilates. That was awkward. But I can't get rid of it. So if you would just chisel around here, and then, you know what, if you chisel a line right here, and maybe 4 to 5, maybe 8 lines right here, that would be awesome.
You're funny.
You made me that way.
I also made the platypus.
The platypus.
All I'm saying is most of my children, when it comes to this process, they just want to talk, but they don't want to do the work. So do you want to talk, or can I chisel? Talk, chisel,
no,
talk,
no, chisel. No. I choose to chisel.
All right. Through my Holy Spirit, I'm going to bring up things in your life that I want you to work on. Like your anger. I created the emotion, but you use it in the wrong way. Compare yourself to others instead of me. You tell little white lies because you want to people please. You're lazy, but you try to fool everybody by looking really, really busy. You have a problem with lust?
Time out. I don't really have a problem.
You don't have a problem with lust.
No, I can do it anytime I want. Hang on a second. I mean, I gotta admit, I feel like you've been doing some great work, and I'm looking pretty good right now.
All right, when you look in the mirror, who do you see?
I see me.
Okay, then I need to keep chiseling away, because ultimately, you and other people need to see my son.
Okay, don't misunderstand me. It's just, when I look more like Jesus, people get uncomfortable around me. I mean, even my church friends, and they're like, oh, you're holier than thou, you know? And I don't think it's supposed to make people uncomfortable.
So what you're saying is you'd rather play God in certain areas of your life than for me to be God over your whole life.
That is not what I said.
It's what you meant.
Yes, it is. It's hard to talk to you. You know everything that I'm thinking. I'm just saying you've done some great work. Maybe we take a break, a sabbatical from each other, you know? I'll stay right here, and then, you
know. That's just it. You never just stay right there. You're either moving toward me or away from me, but never you just stay. What you're doing is called control. Do you want to control things in your life, or can I chisel? Control, chisel, control,
chisel. No, chisel. Chisel.
All right.
But can we chisel where I want?
That's called control.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Now this right here, this secret sin that you keep running to whenever you're hurting, angry, lonely, tired, that you think you're fooling everybody, but it's making you a whitewashed tomb. Are you ready for me to chisel this out of your life?
Yeah.
See, it's a process. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's your whole life. And you care so deeply about what other people think of you. It's rubbish. It's garbage. The greatest thing you're ever going to hear is at the end of your life when you hear me say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what you keep your eye on. That's the prize. Heavenward.
It hurts.
Trust me, this hurts me more than it hurts you.
Right. Okay. I'm sorry. I don't think you understand this pain.
Pardon me?
You're asking me to sacrifice a lot, God.
Don't talk to me about sacrifice. I know all about sacrifice. I sent my son to die on the cross for pain, for sin, but I also did it for another reason, to give you freedom. Do you know what insanity is? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. And there are things that you've been doing for years, these empty, wells that don't have anything to offer. You've been going to them, and it's insane. Allow me to chisel them out of your life. Allow me to produce character when you keep focusing so much on your image.
Okay, but I was thinking.
Your thoughts are not my thoughts.
Okay, but if we went another way.
Your ways are not my ways.
Oh, I can't.
You can't want.
I can't be good.
That's your excuse. That's your excuse, is that you can't be good.
It's not an excuse. I can't.
Oh, my child. In the beginning, I said it was good. I made you good. Be good.
Yeah. But you and I both.
What?
Nothing.
No, what is it?
Nothing, okay? You wouldn't understand.
I, God of all the universe, wouldn't understand something one of my children has to say. Try me.
It's just, I let you down so many times, God.
No, my child. You were never holding me up. I hold you up with my victorious, righteous right hand. Never the other way around. In this relationship, I hold you up.
Okay. Chisel away. Just be prepared for what you're going to find in me. Because I know who's inside you. Because I get up every morning and I look at him in the mirror and I hate who I see. Because deep inside there, this little kid who gets up every morning and dresses like an adult. And I go out and I try to do what I'm supposed to do, but I can't, okay? I can't be who everybody else expects me to be. God, I can't even be who I want to be, much less who you created me to be. And so inside is this scared, stupid little kid. But you chisel away. Just be prepared.
You have listened to so many voices for far too long that were not for me. And you have totally bought into the lie, haven't you? You think you're junk, don't you? When you lay your head down at night after you've done the dance to get the hug, you think you're junk. Listen to me. I don't take time to make junk. How can I show you that my love for you stretches as far as the east to the west? How can I show you that my love for you has no end? I know. Reach your back pocket.
What?
Reach your back pocket.
Why?
Are you arguing with me? Reach your back pocket.
God.
Yes?
I just went, God, I'll do that right now.
You're just saying my name in vain.
Come on. It's a name. It's a saying.
It's a name above all names. It's more than a saying. It's more than a name. I want to teach you something about my name. Reach in your back pocket.
Oh, my God.
Shh. You know what that is?
Yeah, it's a note. I wrote it when I was in college. How did you get this?
Hello?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead and read it.
I love Angie.
Other side.
Sorry. Dear God, did I hear you right today? Did I hear you say that you love me? Even though you and I both know I messed up so many times. Did I hear you say you want to use me? And I feel so useless. If you'll take me, then use me. God, I give you all that I am. Take me. I love you, God.
I love you too. And I love you too much just to leave you where you're at. This salvation that you hold, I don't want it to be some sentimental gush or some head knowledge. I want you to work it out in every detail of your life. And when problems come and chaos happens, don't look at it as a prison, but look at it as a father disciplines his child. A father disciplines the ones he loves.
I know, but it's going to be tough.
Yes, but you bought into the lie thinking everything was going to be easy when you gave everything over to me. There will be trouble in this world. But be a good cheater. I've overcome the world. I want you to do something. I want you to look out there and I want you to say, Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Tommy is God.
No, not the way you see yourself, or you try so desperately for others to see you, but maybe for the first time in your life, the way I see you, the way I created you.
Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Yes, you are.
And so are you. God doesn't make junk. You are an original masterpiece.
The other night, somebody was coming in to the church, and I was standing out there. And they mentioned about the beautiful paintbrush of God and how the sky looks so pretty back over beyond the trees over there. I began to think about this message, and I showed this clip to the teenagers back in the youth zone a couple of months ago. And a lot of times kids feel like they're nothing. And if you feel like you're nothing as a teenager, you keep growing, guess what you feel like as an adult? Like you're nothing. You hide it a little bit better. Squeeze all this stuff in around you. But when God created you, He created you in His image and His likeness. As beautiful as God can paint them skies with the different colors, God can paint our life if we'll yield ourselves to Him to reflect Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. A new creature. We're fixing to roll into a new year. And I guarantee you all of us could look back at 2014 and add up two or three sheetfuls of legal pad of the mistakes that we made in 2014. The mercies of God endures forever. So when that clock rolls over here in just the next minute, it's a new beginning with God. Amen. 2014's gone. 2015's upon us. We can do like the clip said. We can keep doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. Or we can say, God, I know that I was a sinner before you. I realized that I needed Christ in my life. I look back to the cross of Calvary and the finished work of Christ, the resurrected power, and the ever-living Lord, and I ask Him to forgive me and to save me. And I'm your child. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, Lord, I know I'm in Christ. I know it because your word clearly states what I must know, what I must do in order to become your child. And Lord, I have followed what the Bible says about being a child of God. Not about what church says or what some man said or what grandma said. Lord, I have done what the Bible says, and it's very plain and clear. I am your child. Lord, I've messed up. Lord, I've done so much stuff wrong this year. The year before that, the year before that, the year before that. Lord, I don't want to do it again. Another year, giving the same results. Lord, I want this new creature which the Bible talks about. Well, when, Pastor? Well, look at verse 9 of that chapter. It says, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. You have to understand, dear friend, that there is nothing else you and I can do for salvation. Christ has done it. We put faith and trust in Christ to atone for our sins, past, present, and future. And we're accepted of the beloved. Because of Christ. Not because of what we can do for salvation, because no man can do nothing. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. I could not give God nothing in exchange for eternal life. But Christ gave His life in exchange for my sin. He paid it in full that I might have eternal life. So when does this process start? At the very moment you get saved. Wherefore, if any man be in Christ, he said, preacher, I know I'm saved. But look at my life. I'm a wreck. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. So if a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, which leaven is a type of sin, if you study it out, look at Scripture, it's like that ingredient you put into all-purpose flour and cakes, and it causes it to expand and rise, and the yeast there rises up. If a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, dear friend, I wonder what a little bit of God's Word inside of us would do. Amen. We need more than a little bit of God's Word. A man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word proceeding out of the mouth of God. It starts now. We got to quit looking back at the mistakes of our life and the failures of our life and the unfairness of life and look at what is before us. The hope of glory. The voice of God that says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We press toward the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus. Now, you just got to get up, stand up, and when you've done all to stand there for. Say, Lord, here am I. I'm done with the failures. I'm done with the past. Lord, You promised me that I'd be a new creature. And I'm tired of the flesh. I'm tired of the devil. And I'm tired of this world robbing me of that newness. Now, you've got to make a choice. Quit making the same choice to do the same thing over and over and over again. So, Lord, here am I. I am Yours. Now. Well, we procrastinate so much, don't we? We put it off to here, to there, to yonder. Waiting to get things accomplished, and we always procrastinate. You want to be a new creature? You made probably the same promise in 2014, some time ago. Okay, 2015 is here. You got to start now. Got to make a choice now. For me and my house, we're going to serve God now. Y'all know the thing about around to it? Never get around to it, do we? No. Just get at it. Got to do it now. Why? Because verse 9, that we may be accepted of Him. When? Right there. Whether we labor that, whether we or whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. Boy, sometimes we're so good at doing just enough for the eye service of man that we ease the conscience a little bit. But it's Him. It is God that is the one we are to reflect. Preacher, if it's now, then what? Go back to verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, it started when you were saved. You didn't get into the Word of God. You didn't get around God's people. You didn't get around the fellowships and things of God. And you didn't renew yourself there. And so you've stayed there stagnant. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, God, you can have all of this here area in my life. God, I want to be that new creature, but you can't have this portion. All things. All things. You can't hold back on God. Dear friend, when you step out there in that conversation with God and in that relationship with Christ, you're either saved or you're not. He says He will save you to the uttermost. You can't step in there and say, Lord, I want to be saved and I want insurance for heaven, but Lord, you can't have this. You come to Him with everything and say, here, Lord, I need You in my life. Then after you're saved, dear friend, you cannot go to God and have a relationship that is right by withholding areas of your life. You yield it all. You know what He says? You can't sit at the table with two masters. You can't serve one and serve another because you'll hate the one and love the other. You can't lend yourself to the world, to the flesh, and then say, Lord, here I'm on Sunday. Here I am. Lord, it's Wednesday night. Here I am. But Thursday, I'm mine. And on Friday, I'm hers. And Saturday, I'm theirs. Since your body. Head to toe, mind to heart, emotions, and everything. Hear my Lord. See, God doesn't just want to make a portion of you new. I mean, we run to the barber shop or the beauty shop or to the Chinese toenail shop and we get certain areas taken care of. When God wants to give us a head-to-toe changing, He wants all things new. We can't hold back. When I became a child of God, the process should have started, and God was there working. We closed down the garage door and said, God, I'm not ready to work anymore. I want some me time, God. Open up your garage door and let God start working on everything. There is nothing that you have that is going to be more pleasing and joyful than God working in your life. Verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. You're going to give an account for it. You might as well do some good some things acceptable in the sight of God that you can give an account for that instead of a whole bunch of bad baggage and bad motives and bad actions. We're not going to walk in there perfect because we're human, but we want to walk in there into the judgment seat of God and the throne of Jesus and be judged for more good things that we've accomplished for Him than the bad. So all things. Will you fail in 2015? No, you're going to be perfect. Matter of fact, by June, you ought to have your angel wings. Lord, no. Yes, you're going to fail, but I'm telling you, He's there to carry you through and pick you up and dust you off. Why should I do all this? Go to verse 21. Same chapter. When now, what everything, all things, why? Verse 21. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That's why. That's why He wants to make us a new creature. So that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. That we might be a good salesman of the gospel. That when people look in our life and they investigate into our life, that we represent Christ as a good ambassador. Because of what God has done in our life. That is why. For testimony's sake. You have heard it. You know it's been said. I would go to church, but they are this and that at church. You've heard it. And they use the excuse. But wouldn't it be good, like it says over in 1 Peter, that what they say about you would have to be a lie? That it wouldn't be true. Amen. That they could not use that excuse and say, I'd go to church, but you know, Brother Stockton, he is no good. He's not honest. And the Lord Jesus Christ, my advocate in heaven, said, Father, that is a lie and it's not true. He has been faithful and honest and He's done His very best to represent me well. Or would He have to stay there beside God and say, God, Holy Spirit keeps convicting me. He just won't get it right. And the more He walks in that, the more He's dishonest, the more He's not faithful, the more He turns away from me. It's a whole other story. Well, maybe to get your mind to thinking, there is a sin unto death for Christians. Keep going shaming the name of Christ, and sometimes He just has to get you out of the way. Amen. Preach, He wouldn't do that. He took the good man Enoch out of the way. And he was a good testimony. He'd have been a whole lot better testimony down here for people to see. But God said, hey, I need him up here. 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about turning people out of the church, that they're that they let the devil destroy them, that their soul may be okay. That's, you know, I'm not trying to run into a negative thing here, but I'm just telling you, dear friend, they're going to say that there's bad Christians. They're going to say that there's hypocrites. They're going to say, well, let them say, but let it be a lie. Let it not be true. Why? Because verse 21 says, for He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Be ye holy, for I am holy. And every one of us can look back into our lives in 2014, and you can sit down along and journal it. You may have already journaled 2014 and said, man, on January 7th last year, boy, I blew it. I had a bad attitude. I had an anger problem, and I shouted at somebody. And then May, and then, you know, maybe April, and every month we could find them. We don't want the same thing. Well, why, preacher? If right now, in closing, God would say to you, bring all that you have up here and lay on that table that was right and righteous and holy and put it there. And all the bad stuff that you did was negative and hurtful and harmful, put it beside it. Which one of the piles would be higher? You say, preacher, that ain't going to happen. First time. It ain't going to happen here. There's coming a day, therefore, where everyone will present themselves to Christ. And we're going to lay it out. And He's going to, we can't hide it. I know, as your pastor, you are good people. You love the Lord. And you want to serve Him. I also know that this is a wicked world. And the devil's real. And he wants to destroy and devour and steal and kill every bit of your testimony. So I'm going to be a new creature. Let's stand our feet.